Attention Crusaders, you are now listening to Vox Arcana, a production of Holosuite Media. By the will of the immortal Emperor of Mankind, it has been decreed that the following broadcast of Vox Arcana may not be suitable for all ages. The views expressed on this Voxcast are solely those of the individual providing them and do not represent the opinion of this station, website, or any affiliated partner. Audience discretion is advised.
Oi!
What is it, you maggot?
Tahirmis is on their way to Arcona. They're gonna get there before us.
You worthless git. Who cares if they get there before us? Either way, we'll crump them good.
I know, but they've already been shooting at the spiky Hermes for weeks now.
What? Get the boys on the rocks. It's time for war!
Greetings, Crusaders. Welcome to Vox Arcona Mission 30, recording on Sunday, March the 20th, 2016, and coming to you from the Battlefield of Charon in the Segmentum Obscurus. I am Gigabyte, and I am pleased to share the Fleet's Vox Arena with Orkta. How are you doing today, man?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well. How about you?
I am doing absolutely amazing.
Awesome. What have you been up to this week?
I have been killing people in Eternal Crusade. I've been doing pretty well, actually. I think I'm getting better. My KDR is progressing nicely.
Well, a couple of things there. First, I'm glad that you qualified killing people in Eternal Crusade. Secondly, interestingly, my KDR has been going the other way.
Oh.
I don't know why. I think what's happened is the Steam users have figured out how to play the game, and suddenly I'm just tanking. I don't know what's up.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, I mean, I still haven't had a good round in Tobias Refinery. I don't know why.
Oh, that map sucks, though. I really don't like that map one little bit.
Really? Because, I mean, obviously this is the latest map. I was thinking maybe it was just me. I was just getting bad groups. I don't know. But, I mean, obviously because I've lost pretty much every time, I haven't enjoyed it. I haven't found the excitingness of it, but do you agree it's not what it should be?
I think there's too much open land on that map, and not to mention the lag issues we're still getting with the rain as well.
Very interesting. I mean, yeah, I agree. There's a lot of open ground. But I like that as a concept. Like, it's a cool idea because it means that, you know, your Stalker rifles are really going to get put it to good use. Yeah, it does seem to. I don't know.
Well,
I'm just not satisfied with it. Yeah, could be.
I mean, I don't use the Stalker Bolter quite as much as I use the Bolter, and the Melter Gun. I'm quite taken with those two weapons.
Oh, okay, well, you see, I love the Stalker Bolter. It's that and the Melter Gun are my weapons of choice. No, not Melter Gun, Plasma Gun, sorry.
Yeah, I think it's a playstyle thing then. You clearly prefer more range than I do.
I know, right? So you'd think that would mean I'd like Tobias Refinery, but no luck. Of course, I haven't played it with my guild yet, so who knows? My chapter, sorry.
Your chapter, yes, indeed. Well, so yes, let's jump straight in with Eternal Crusade, the Into the Warps. We're actually going to be covering two this week, since we missed last week's recording. So Into the Warp 56, major points in that show. It was a good one, actually. Go watch it on YouTube. The Eldar were shown in that one. The Dire Avenger model looks pretty awesome. Did you catch that at all?
No, I'd agree. I mean, listeners may remember that when they first released it to PC Gamer for their article, I wasn't really all aboard that as an idea. I didn't think the model looked particularly great. But I think they look better. They are almost certainly the identical same models that they released to PC Gamer. But I don't know, just different angles. Who knows? I was happy with it, yeah.
I think seeing it in a 3D it kind of makes it look come out that much better.
Yeah, that's probably it.
They also said that unfortunately there won't be any teleport, i.e. warp spiders, until after launch, which is a little bit annoying, but they should be quite fun to play, I think.
Well, if they're anything like they are on the tabletop currently in 7th edition, there's some bullshit and they need to be nerfed.
Slap them with the nerf hammer.
I think they need it, yeah. Well, I mean, when you get people taking entire armies of just warp spider formations to use their janky skills, I'm just saying, they need Games Workshop needs to learn some balance. Anyway,
not that you're bitter or anything, you know.
No, don't know what you're talking about.
Cool. So a little bit more on the melee update, because we need it. Apparently the weapon durability that we mentioned in a previous episode will be applying to all weapons, not just the storm shield. So when it comes to blocking and defensive bash and things like that, you will lose durability, and you'll also lose durability if you attack someone who is defensive bashing, which is quite interesting. Apparently they're also balancing the ground assault against the jump assault. According to Brent, you are supposed to be guarding or assaulting, and it's quite an interesting little part of the Into the Warp. Actually, if you go and watch it, you can see how well they're balancing the two together. The jump assault can always stay out of range of the ground assault. It's really quite interesting.
Right. Yeah. No. I think thematically and fluff wise, that's pretty cool. I mean, let's be honest. Should a normal person really be able to catch up with someone with a jump pack? Probably not. So I'm all for that. But it'll be interesting to see how it actually ends up, balance-wise.
No, definitely. There was some other interesting bits and pieces in the Into the Warp, but those are the ones that kind of really jumped out at me. As I say, go and have a watch of it on YouTube. Also, we had Into the Warp 57 this week, which, that was a good one. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, I'm going to have to fess up here and say I did not manage to see it yet. Because I'm a bad person. but tell me what I missed.
First and foremost, the multi-melter was announced and shown on Into the Warp, and oh my god, oh, I need a new keyboard. It was awesome.
Okay, so for anybody that doesn't know what a multi-melter is, not me, obviously, I totally know.
Of course.
Obviously. What is it?
So the multi-melter is a short-range heavy weapon. It's a larger version of the melter gun that we already have in-game. Only Devastators can use it, and it melts through tank armor in seconds, and in game it really does. It's just oh so sexy. It's amazing.
Okay, what does it have to say? What kind of range is it?
It is a very short range, actually. It seems to be about the same as the melter gun, if not a little bit longer, because obviously it's a double version of it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but yeah, it's not a massively long range weapon like the other heavy weapons we have in game, like the Laz Cannon and the Plasma Gun.
Ah, yes, the real sniper rifle of the game, the Laz Cannon. Yeah,
it's the Emperor's middle finger.
Yeah. What about like if I'm a Devastator with my multi melter? What if I'm just running through, you know, in the middle of a capping a point, am I going to be wrecking face with the multi-melter, or would I rather have a storm bolter, or do we not really know yet?
We don't know a great deal right now. All we know is what they showed off in Into the Warp, and it was just kind of showing off the weapon and, you know, showing how quickly it can destroy vehicles, because that's really the main function of that weapon, is to be an anti-armor weapon.
So
so when it comes to taking out your predators and your rhinos and things like that, that's really where that weapon will shine. I really don't think you'll be seeing it much in a close quarters fight, if they can avoid it anyway, because Devastators just don't do well in close combat. I can actually see those Devastators carrying a multi-melter being accompanied by some ground assault, if people know their tactics well enough.
I'm sure people will figure things out. I mean, if it's as good as you say and remains as good as it currently is, then it's probably going to be a must-have, because predators are still absolute bastards to get rid of sometimes.
Just a bit. Just a fucking bit.
I mean, don't get me wrong, they're manageable, but if you're just a lone person running around, you've got no chance.
No, you definitely need some good strategy to get rid of it.
Yeah, as you say, you need a bit of backup.
Yep, and we also had the new Striking Scorpion model shown off. It was literally just the model, though. There wasn't anything else. It was actually in the pose of the Dire Avenger from the previous Into the Warp from 56.
That's always a good sign.
Yeah. But it was just to kind of show it off. Obviously, the Striking Scorpion in EC will be a stealth unit, which they haven't shown anything in regards to stealth yet. We haven't got anything like that in game right now.
Do we know what it really means, though, a stealth unit?
Well, we know it's going to be a unit that will kind of evade line of sight, I guess, or evade the radar, maybe. They haven't exactly elaborated on what stealth means in EC yet. I've got a feeling it's going to be a invisibility of sort, or at least very hard to see. The model does look very, very awesome, I have to admit. I can't wait to see it with a shuriken pistol and a chainsword.
Yeah, it would definitely be cool. Actually quite looking forward to the whole of the Eldar faction, to be honest. That may not have come across in previous shows, but yeah, I'm looking forward to see what this faction brings, and especially how they're going to balance it. Because right now, you know, I mean, there are small differences between Space Marines and Chaos, but they're effectively the same. Yeah. Obviously, with Eldar, you kind of have to... Well, they're nowhere near as strong, and they are smaller models. Now, I assume that's going to come with a smaller hitbox as well, and are they going to be much faster just on foot? I don't know, it'll be very interesting.
They're a lot faster as well, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, on the tabletop they have Fleet of Foot. It's not called that anymore, it's just Fleet. So I'm really interested to see how they balance everything.
No, definitely, especially when you consider the Elder faction isn't going to have like a tactical assault Devastator, your normal ones that we've had so far with Space Marines and Chaos. All of the class choices for the Elder faction are pretty much going to be the Aspect Warriors, which are very specialised in what they do.
Which is great. I mean, that's exactly how it is on the tabletop. That's the fluff of the army. That's exactly the right choice. I don't think anyone can fault them on that. But again, it's just, how are they going to balance it?
How will it translate into game? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, which again, I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure they'll be able to put something together that works really well.
Oh, totally. Oh, I really, literally cannot wait to see what they do with it. Also, we had some Orc motion capture in Into the Warp 57. Some of the guys at their motion capture studio, they actually live streamed with those guys across Skype, I think it was. They showed off some of the motion captures for the Orcs, heavy attack, things like this. The executions look really, really brutal. They look absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I've got to say, you wrote that in the show notes. I'm like, oh, damn it, I haven't seen them. So I think after this, I'm going to have to track them down on YouTube.
They do look awesome. Basically, the two they show off. One of the ones looks like the orc's just beating the hell out of the other person, and the other one is where he's basically supposed to be holding him up with a power claw, and he kind of does something with him and then throws him back. It's quite interesting. I love it.
Oh, very nice. At least that confirms we're going to do crazy things with the power claw.
Totally.
No. The other thing there is, though, executions, is there any word on when executions are going to be made shorter? Because they're still a bit silly to do.
No, nothing yet. However, they did mention in the Q&A, while they were playing with the community, that there is an issue with the execution camera, which people may have noticed. When you do an execution, it doesn't lock the camera to for you to watch the execution. You can still move the camera around. And they said that they're working with a new system to try and figure out how that can be changed, and you know, how it can be better utilized so that the executions don't leave you completely open. But they haven't said anything about shortening it yet.
Do we know if that's still definitely happening? Because they mentioned it quite a while ago. I mean, obviously it's kind of bottom of their to-do list because it's in-game and it works, but do we know if it's still happening, or no real word?
There's been no real word, to be honest. I would hope so, because it needs it, quite frankly. But no, they haven't actually mentioned anything. Not yet, anyway.
Okay, well, fair enough.
Fingers crossed, eh?
One day.
Yes, and that pretty much was the end of the warps. I think they're kind of... they're mainly gearing up for the Eldar and Orc thing at the moment. There's not
and,
really
Tyranids, don't forget.
Yes, and the Tyranids as well.
I mean, they posted a news update saying that one of these five different features was going to come, and I'm really hoping it's the PvE, because they had, they'd said it was going to come middle of February, and obviously they've missed that by a smidge, but they. Let's be fair, that is kind of in line with not only them, but all game developers ever. So we can't really fault
pretty
them.
Much.
But yeah, I'm still looking forward to the NIDs.
No, totally. There was one other thing that was kind of almost a non-starter in the Interwarp. They've actually finally finished the voice acting for all the factions, or the Space Marines, the Chaos Space Marines anyway. And they're going to be putting that into the alpha soon. They did try to show it off, but it didn't work. There was no sound.
No, right. Okay, well, to be honest, I didn't know they were redoing the voice acting. So that's cool. That's good.
The voice acting we have right now is done by one guy in house, I think. And they did want to get...
Okay.
Yeah, they did want to get the individual... like sub-factions having their own kind of feel to them, especially with factions like, you know, Space Wolves and stuff. There is a particular feel to a Space Wolf, you know.
Yeah, that's a nice touch. I'm glad they've done it. However, not something I was holding my breath on, but yeah, cool.
Yeah, no, it'd be nice to finally kind of see some interesting differences between the sub-factions. Cool. The Warhammer 40,000 universe, moving on there. Not a lot going on. As you may have heard in our previous episode, the main site and Forge World are both running competitions, and that's really their main focus for this month. The main site is the Win the Army of Your Dreams competition. It closes on the 27th of March, and any orders of £50 or more qualify for a drawing in this competition.
Now, just once again to everyone here, that for every order of £50 or more, you get another entry into the lottery or whatever it is. So if you're going to do an order of, you know, 150 quid, like some of the presenters of this show may have just done, split it up into three orders and you've got three chances.
Indeed.
And I'm actually glad we've got this here. because it's reminded me that maybe I should hurry up and, you know, there's stuff I want that is Games Workshop order from the website only. Like I've just started a Tyranid army, and I want some Bivores. Bivores are awesome. I think I may be ordering those pretty soon, it turns out. Sooner than I had intended, let's just say.
Good, good. Well, we shall keep our fingers crossed for you, matey.
Thank you.
So the prizes for the Win the Army of Your Dreams, they have like a hobby bundle thing, which has tons and tons of hobby tools and stuff in it. They are giving away one of two scenery packages, one for fantasy, one for 40k. And then finally the Army of Your Dreams, which is up to £2,000 of Games Workshop product from the website, which should be very nice. If you get your hands on it, please let us know, because we'd love to know what you bought.
And you know, maybe, I mean, £2,000, that's quite a bit of money if you want to give a few models to us, you know.
Yeah, why not?
Sure.
I'm Space Wolves, and Alter is Necrons, so, you know, if you have any spare.
Or Tyranids. Or Blood Angels.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Or anything, really, just about.
Pretty much any faction. yeah, pretty much.
Forge World is also running a competition. They are running a Win a Titan competition. This competition closes on the 31st of March, and any orders of £100 or more qualify. Also, you have to answer a couple of questions. The first one is to name your Titan, and the second one is to tell us how your Titan earned its infamous name. Get a little bit creative on that, I think.
In only 400 words, I believe, which isn't much.
Yes, indeed. In the length of a tweet.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Has that tempted you at all, Gigabyte? Any Forge World? No?
No, yeah. I have no monies, unfortunately. I have a mini bite who is taking up all my money.
Yeah. Yeah. You see, I have the main site that's taking up all of my money. Yeah.
Well, by the time we record again, these two competitions will probably be closed. I believe, if I remember correctly, the winners shall be announced sometime in May. If memory serves. So, keep your fingers crossed, and hopefully Orkta will win the Army of His Dreams.
That would be quite delightful. However, unfortunately, I don't know personally any of the Games Workshop staff at headquarters, so probably out of the running. Although it's totally a closed lottery, I'm sure it would be completely just. Won't be any tampering of results at all.
Well, I can say that I have known, and I do know, several people that work for Games Workshop. So maybe by proxy, you might win. You might win.
Oh well, there you go. Yeah.
Cool. In the world of video games, Battlefleet Gothic. Oh, the release date is looming. They say it's coming out the end of this month. So hopefully that should be on time. That's looking amazing.
Have you pre-ordered?
No. Again, I have no money, and I actually have too much installed on my PC right now. I have a lot.
Well, that's fair. Well, I did pre-order, and that means that I've been able to get into the open beta. Well, it's not really a beta. It's just
it's early access.
Basically.
And how have you found it?
Yeah, so all I've done is play through the single player bit that it opens up to you. It's like the prologue. It's very different to what I was expecting. But it at the same time, it's quite a slow game, I'd say. And it's quite representative of the original board game. And I've got to say, quite like it. I will definitely be playing through and completing the single player campaign. I'm not sure if the skirmish mode to the multiplayer is really appealing to me yet, but maybe once I play through the whole single player, I'll just be gagging to play for some of the other races. I mean, obviously there's Eldar in there, which I want to play as, and nobody knows how they play yet. So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it, and I really like some of the mechanics behind it. Yeah.
Very nice, very nice. Well, they do have a new overview trailer out, which is basically a kind of, you know, this is our game, this is how it looks, this is what it's about, which is quite rather nice to look at, I have to admit. Numerous Let's Players have been uploading videos recently of the beta, well worth having a look. Very close to the Eternal Crusade community, Vigilia Mortis, there. Channel has been updating quite regularly with information on Battlefield Gothic and Eternal Crusade, obviously, and it's well worth a watch. There's some good stuff there.
Interesting side note, it's a little bit late now sadly, but the Vigilia Mortis YouTube channel was actually doing a small giveaway for anyone that left a comment on the video.
Oh yes,
saying you can a copy of Regicide, which of course is a 40k computer game. So, you know, check the YouTube channel out. You can just Google or YouTube Vigilia Mortis, and you never know, they may do another one. Yeah.
Indeed, well worth keeping an eye on there. Cool. So that leads us to the Imperial Data Slate for the day. Imperial Data Slate, at the moment we are going through the Chaos Gods. We covered Khorne. We had our cornflakes last time.
oh dear.
And this week we are covering Nurgle. And as always, we start with a quote. Octa, would you like to take this one?
Love to. Indeed, the very process of construction and creation foreshadow destruction and decay. The palace of today is tomorrow's ruin. The maiden of the morning is the crone of the night. And the hope of a moment is but the foundation stone of everlasting regret.
Yes, indeedy. And like as I say, we are looking at Nurgle this week. Nurgle is in fact the oldest of the four Chaos Gods, most probably because of his because he is the god of death and decay, and those two have been part of the galaxy since the beginning, pretty much. His titles include the Plague Father, Fly Lord, Great Corruptor, Plague Lord, Master of Pestilence, Lord of Decay, the translation of his dark tongue name Nurgleth, and represents morbidity, disease, and physical corruption. Of the four Chaos Gods, Nurgle is said to be the most involved with the plight of mortals. Those afflicted with his contagions often turn to him in order to escape their suffering. The physical likeness of Nurgle is described as gigantic and bloated with corruption, with foul-coloured, leathery, and necrotic skin. Lovely. Nurgle can also be regarded as the quote-unquote Lord of All, because all things, no matter how solid and permanent they seem, are liable to physical corruption. All the Chaos Gods are embodiments of the hopes, fears, and other strong emotions and concepts generated by mortal races. In Nurgle's case, the source of power is the living's fear of inevitable death and disease, and their unconscious response to that fear, which is the quote-unquote power of life, the motivating power of mankind and other races. Nurgle and his demons, in contrast to their putrid appearance, are jovial and friendly in demeanor. His demon servants and mortal followers usually demonstrate a disturbing joviality and joy at the pestilence that he inflicts, seeing the plagues as gifts and the cries of their victims as gratitude rather than agony. This is demonstrated on the demon world of Bubonicus, where an endless chain of crazed revelers circle the planet's equator in a never-ending dance. Nurgle is often referred to as Grandfather Nurgle, Father Nurgle, or Papa Nurgle by his followers because of his paternal nature. His main enemy is Zeech, the Lord of Change, because their power comes from opposing sources. Zeech is hope and ambition, while Nurgle is defiance born of despair and hopelessness.
So the worship of Nurgle. Like the other Chaos Gods, Nurgle has a multitude of followers across the galaxy, drawn from all mortal species. The followers of Nurgle often pit themselves against those of Tzeentch in complex political intrigues, forever attempting to mire his schemes for change with dull-minded conservationisms and parochial self-interest. Their influence is often successful in thwarting Tzeentch, knowing that whatever survives the collapse into entropy becomes theirs. The Church of the Fly Lord is always open to all. Now, the Demons of Nurgle. The Demons of Nurgle are putrid in appearance and sickening to look upon. Their skin is filled with the fever heat of corruption, their innards pushing through the lesions in their skin, and their bodies ooze with putrid slime. However, Nurgle's demons are often cheerful, energetic beings that show a disturbingly friendly demeanor. They are jovial in their work and show great pride in their achievements. And this leads us to Great Unclean Ones, the big ones. The greater demons of Nurgle, massive, bloated disease carriers, often carrying a blade known as a plague sword into battle. These massive rusted blades are said to be dipped in the foul pus and contagion at the base of Nurgle's throne. Great Unclean Ones are unlike the great demons of other powers, in that where the latter are essentially just immensely powerful servants, the Great Unclean Ones are each facsimiles of Nurgle himself, both physically and in terms of their personality. In other words, every Great Unclean One is also Nurgle. Thus, these followers often refer to these demons as Papa or Father Nurgle. Despite their completely bloated and putrid appearance, Great Unclean Ones are neither death-like or morbid in character. In fact, the opposite is true, and the demons are motivated by all the trivial human enthusiasms which drive the living. They are gregarious and even sentimental in nature, and hold their followers dear, even referring to them as their children, and taking obvious pride in their appearance and endearing behaviour.
Yeah, and the common demons of Nurgle we move on to there, the Plague Bearers. Having a vaguely humanoid appearance with a single burning eye, they are often referred to as the Tallymen of Nurgle, for they constantly strive to number the poxes and represent the need of humanity to impose order on a chaotic and uncaring universe. A single scratch from their rusted swords is sufficient to bestow a plague that sends its hosts to Nurgle's realm. They have a special combat ability, allowing them to hurt enemies no matter how tough they are, and are consumed with Nurgle's rot. The most powerful plague bearers will serve as plague drones, the heavy cavalry of Nurgle's armies.
Then we have, let's be honest, the best of the demons, the Nurglings. Now, these are demonic servants of Nurgle. They look like miniature representations of Nurgle with friendly, mischievous faces. They are gregarious, agile, and constantly active. They attack an enemy in vast swarms, overwhelming them by their numbers. Nurglings are often found following the shadow of champions of Nurgle or gathering in hordes around great unclean ones. When attacking, they use their claws, which are infected by plagues and diseases, to drag down larger enemies where they can use their venomous bites.
Then we have the Beasts of Nurgle, huge, happy, slug-like creatures that slither across the battlefield, leaving a trail of slime behind them. They incarnate the Plague Lord's bountiful excitement and show a friendly nature, utterly at odds with the deadly consequences they bring about.
And finally, we have Rotflies and Battleflies. To be fair, these are just huge, disgusting, insectoid demonic beasts sometimes used for riding.
Yeah, it'd be quite interesting to see what they look like if they ever pulled them out in the models game.
Do they not have them? I'm sure they do.
I've not seen them, to be honest.
Oh, okay, well, I'm going to carry on, but I'm positive they're there. Okay, so next up we have the Garden of Nurgle. The Garden of Nurgle is Nurgle's realm within the wall. This unwholesome realm is home to every pox and affliction imaginable and is alive with the stench of rot. This garden is not a barren wasteland, but rather a macabre paradise of death and pestilence. A thick sheet of buzzing swarms of black, furry flies litter the sky, and twisted, rotten boughs of entangled with grasping vines cover the mouldering ground beneath an insect-ravaged canopy of leaves. Basically, it sucks. Now, defiled fungi, both plain and extraordinary, break through the leaf-strewn mulch of the forest floor, puffing out vile clouds of spores. Muddy rivers slither across the bloated landscape. Nurgle's mansion of rotted timbers and broken walls reside at the heart of the garden, decrepit and ancient, yet eternally strong at its foundations. It is within these tumbling walls that Nurgle toils at his cauldron, a receptacle vast enough to contain all the oceans of the worlds in the galaxy. Nurgle keeps his companion Isha, who, for anyone paying attention, is something to do with the Eldar, trapped
She's
in a cage.
Goddess.
She is indeed, yes. Trapped in a cage in the garden of Nurgle, in the corner of a room where he keeps the cauldron in which he creates all of his plagues. Being a goddess of healing, Isha can cure herself of any of Nurgle's diseases. Nurgle takes advantage of this by force feeding her his latest creation and sees how long it takes the goddess to overcome its effects. If he is pleased, he releases it upon some unsuspecting world. If not, he starts over, working at his cauldron until he has something new to give his companion. Whilst he is busy working, though, Isha takes advantage of his distraction to instruct mortals on how to rid themselves of Nurgle's poxes. Finally, when Nurgle's power waxes, the garden blooms, encroaching on the lands of the other Chaos Gods. Nurgle's enemies would fight back, and the plague bearers would take up arms to defend it. Although the garden will recede again, it would still have fed deeply on the essence of those who have fallen in such wars, and will lie in gestate peace until it is ready to bloom again.
Sounds disgusting. And I'm sure those people who are Chaos players have been shouting at their headphones or their iPhones or whatever they listen to us on for the past few minutes there. I did look up the rock flies and battle flies. They do actually have them. Shut my mouth.
Yeah, I thought they did. Yeah.
Yes, the plague drones of Nurgle shows how long I've been out of the hobby for.
Yes, that's right, the plague drones. Yeah. They don't look good. Which is to say, they look great. If that's what you're into.
If that floats your boat, huh? Cool. And yes, that pretty much brings us to the end of today's episode. It's a bit of a shorter one than normal, but I'm sure we'll be getting more information as we go forward with Eternal Crusade. Once the Eldar and Orcs hit the Alpha server, we shall be gushing about them, I'm sure.
To clarify, though, in a way that completely does not harm the NDA.
Indeed. Yes, Devotions to the Faithful. I've not seen any reviews on the EU iTunes. As I've said in previous episodes, probably best to send them to voxarcona@gmail.com instead. I don't know what's going on with iTunes, it's being a bit of a pain. So yes, send us your emails, tell us we're doing a good job, tell us we're doing a bad job. Whatever it is, let us know how you feel about the podcast, guys. We shall probably read them out on air and thank you for them.
Unless they're one stars.
Yes, unless they're one stars, in which case we'll just, whatever.
Well, we'll delete them and pretend they never turned.
Exactly. yes, and we shall leave you with our thought for the day. Would you like to take that one, Alta?
In the embrace of the great Nurgle, I am no longer afraid, for with his pestilential favour, I have become that which I once most feared, death.
I have been Gigabyte, he has been Alta, we are Vox Arcona, and we shall see you next time.
Goodbye.
The Adeptus Terra thanks you for tuning into tonight's broadcast of Vox Arcona, a production of Holosuite Media. Be sure to check our website, iTunes, or Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered Voxcasts and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Vox Arcona. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to voxarcona@gmail.com. Return next week for yet another communique from the Vox Arcona.